Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark, the only podcast providing the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew Hughes. He is Aaron Hughes. Let's start the show by discussing the most recent news. Triple H is now an executive within WWE. What?
He is the creative executive, in fact. So he is going to be in charge of talent and coming up with storylines and doing all that kind of fun stuff.
That's ridiculous. Seriously, that is just completely ridiculous.
Well, it's one of those things where the reason I don't like it is not because of my hatred for Triple H. It's actually because I think that he's going to do a poor job because they gave Sheamus a huge run within his first year, and I don't think that he was ready, in my opinion. And the other thing, too, is I don't know if you've noticed it, but he's been in a lot of promos. So he's being advertised. Like, you can see Sheamus at the upcoming Raw. Well, to be honest, if I'm watching Raw, I don't want to see Sheamus. In fact, Sheamus is one of the lowest people on my list of people to see, right below Zack Ryder, okay? So
hey,
that's kind of the thing, all right? Woo, woo, woo.
Leave Zack Ryder out of this.
But that's
I know what you mean. I know what you mean, dude.
To me, that's why I don't like it, because I think that he's going to promote people who are like him and who are not people like Daniel Bryan, who are very good wrestlers, who are talented, you know? So
good point on that. Talent. That's the big keyword, is talent. He will fail in that department because he's going to think, all right, because Sheamus is one of his friends or his workout buddy, of course. That's why he got pushed. Now, in Sheamus's defense, though, he has handled it very well. I will say that. But
I agree with you.
But I think someone like Daniel Bryan, who's been in the business for a long time, would handle it even better. That's my opinion, but, unbelievable.
I actually disagree with you there, because I think that, and we'll talk about it in during the Raw segment, but the one thing is, though, I think that Daniel Bryan will be with WWE, or he'll be with wrestling for the next 15 years, if not longer. And Sheamus, I think that he sees this as something to do for right now. And I think that he has other aspirations. And I don't think that you're going to see Sheamus in WWE or TNA or Ring of Honor in 5 years, in my opinion. But then again, I could be wrong. And if I'm wrong, that's fine. So,
well, whatever happened to Rico?
Suave?
No. What's his name? Rico? I think his name was. Long sidebar.
I know
he. Anyways.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, real quick, I want to go off the complete opposite of what we were just talking about. I just saw a preview for MacGruber. It came out a couple days ago. I forgot that Jericho and a bunch of guys were in that film, a bunch of wrestlers. I completely forgot about that. I completely forgot about it. I was laughing. I'm like, why is the heck is Jericho in this film along with the Great Khali? And I can't remember who else. I think it was MVP as well. I was like, why are these guys?
MVP. And Big Show was in there too. In fact, the Big Show segment, I actually laughed out loud. I mean, it was hilarious when he was going through a list. He's trying to make a team, and he picks up Jericho, picks up MVP, Great Khali, goes to Big Show, and basically there's a really funny reason why he doesn't pick him up, and he, crosses out his name and, is really, just hammering it in. He will not have him on his team no matter what. So, really funny. I don't know if you've seen the movie yet or not.
I have not seen the movie yet. I actually am going to go rent it or download it through the Comcast stuff. Because I Comcast is my cable provider. So you can actually download it for them. It's $4 for the HD with the AC3 encoding. So I'm going to check it out, and we might have to talk about it next week.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, Alicia Fox is an idiot. I already knew that. So why'd you let me know that again?
So the reason I put this in the rundown is she came out saying that she wanted to be the undefinable women's champion. Undefinable women's champion, mm-hmm. Not the
unified,
not that, the undefinable women's champion. And then she was talking about how she's more popular than Lay Cool, saying she had more Twitter followers. And people did the math. This is the best part about the internet and fact checking, because they will like ream you. I mean, they really will. And Lay Cool has like 100-some thousand Twitter followers, and Alicia Fox has 12.
Gotta love fact checkers. Gotta love fact checkers. Anyways, Jericho is out. He's gone. He's done with the WWE now.
You think so?
I don't think so. I think it's going to be a storyline thing, because I'm trying to figure out why they moved John Morrison into the six-pack challenge. I don't get that.
Well, technically, he's not in yet. They didn't say that he took Jericho's spot. But I think that this is interesting, because I think that Jericho – they're saying it's a six-pack challenge, but they're only advertising the five people. But I think that Jericho, he's getting pops. And that's the big thing. He is going out of his way to call people idiots, but then they still chant Y2J or Jericho. And so I think that the WWE is like, you know, why fight it? You know, what's the point in fighting it? You know, everybody likes him. They're probably going to turn him face. That's at least what I'm thinking, you know? So
okay.
That's my guess for what the storyline is going to be. They may have him go out as a face. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. To be honest, this is probably the most interesting thing on Raw right now is Jericho's storyline.
Okay.
In my opinion. So.
That actually probably is, because there's nothing else really going on besides, of course, The Miz coming out. He's going to be on the cover of the WWE magazine, which is not his first time being on the cover. That's what
it's
I
not.
No, I saw another cover of him being on there. It was nothing big. It was just him on it. That's why I didn't understand why he made such a big deal about this one. Didn't make sense at all to me. And then I thought his segment, then of course Daniel Bryan came out, which I thought was pretty awesome. And they came in, Daniel Bryan literally started kicking his butt, and then I thought a fan ran in, but of course it was the Miz's crony, as we know him as
Alex Riley.
Thank you. I had a little brain poot there. Yeah, Alex Riley comes in, and of course, The Miz runs out. Alex Riley gets put in the not the crippler crossface, but the camera, what they call it now. But
it's the La Rules something. I forgot the name of it exactly. So, but I know what you're talking about. But it's the crossface, basically. I mean, He does it a little different, but it still is, for all intents and purposes, the crossface.
And
now, I wanted to know something, though, about this. What did you think about Daniel Bryan being out there and like having the conflict? You know, they went head to head. It's supposed to be a really tense moment. You know, you're supposed to be like, when are, you know, who's going to hit who? When's this going to happen? You know, so I want to know kind of what you thought about the segment.
Well, I thought the segment was done pretty well. There's nothing I wouldn't change about it. I thought it was funny when he kicked the big poster of the Miz. And then he had another one of him, Miz taps out, and it shows him having Miz tap out on the screen. I thought that was really funny, too.
That was pretty funny. But to be honest, I think that I was disappointed by it. I was I thought that it could have been a lot better than what it was. And Daniel Bryan, I mean, the chemistry those two had was good. You know, I'm not going to say that it wasn't, because it was good. But I didn't feel the tension there. You know, I didn't feel like, you know, oh my God, you know, it's Hogan versus Warrior or Stone Cold versus, you know, Vince McMahon. I didn't have that type of feeling. And I guess I thought that's the feeling I was going to have, you know, that's what I thought. But it didn't happen, you know. So I don't know. Like I said, overall, I was a little disappointed by it. The match will be good. The Miz is, I think, underrated. Not that he's great, but I do think he's a little underrated. And I think that Daniel Bryan can probably bring out the best in him. And I actually, you know, this is very bold, but I do think Daniel Bryan will win the title. I really do.
Well, see, I really think they're going to change it to a three-way. I think they're going to bring Alex Riley into the mix. I really, really think that. And that would be kind of neat, especially if Daniel Bryan beats both of them. Like, he literally beats both of them, makes them both tap. Or even if he just gets, he'll probably get Alex Riley to tap, make the Miz look kind of big or whatever. You know, but who knows what's going to happen. You know, yeah, it didn't have like the, oh my gosh, they're really going to hurt each other factor to it. But overall, I thought it was a decent segment. I didn't like where they put it. They put it after the 9 o'clock, which I thought this should have been right at the 9 o'clock, but you know, whatever. So is John Morrison really getting a push, or is this just a thing to make Jericho, you know, gone?
I think that they are looking at pushing Morrison, because I do think that they really need some star power. And I think if they push Morrison and then they put him on SmackDown, I think that he could really shine there. And I think that you could have him in pretty good matches with like Kofi Kingston, with Drew McIntyre, Matt Hardy, if you put him in that place. So I really do think, though, that they should put him over there, in my opinion. I think moving him to Raw was a mistake. So
yeah. And then we had, of course, Darren Young at the very end. He returns. Kind of excited to see that, but then he gets what, RKO'd? Well, I don't see the point of that.
I think that was more for Randy Orton to make him look vicious. You know, like, he doesn't need your help, you know? But I think it was kind of cool to have him come back. I think it'll be interesting to see what he does to kind of mess with Wade Barrett, because obviously that's what's going to happen. He's going to be there to mess with Nexus. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. So.
Very interesting. Of course, moving on to SmackDown, Matt Hardy taps out to Del Rio with that weak finishing move, and really, really weak. I'm trying to be nice about it. Very incredibly weak armbar. That stuff that they teach you, one of the first five moves you probably learn when you're training to become a wrestler, that's his finishing move. It sucks. I don't like it. He should have something over the top, but he doesn't.
You know, it's 2010. It's not the 1980s. In the 1980s, this would fly. A leg drop, you know, a body press slam, a elbow drop off the top rope.
A Russian leg sweep.
A Russian leg sweep, okay? These were finishing moves back then. Now they're pretty much a common move, okay? Mm-hmm. And a move like this, and the way he does it is kind of cool. I mean, you know, when he flips him around, you know, to put him in the armbar, that's cool. Like, it's flashy, okay? I understand that. The thing is, though, don't have that be his main finisher. You know, have that be his, like, submission finisher. That's fine. But, you know, the same way that Kurt Angle has the ankle lock, or John Cena has the STF, you know, just give him something, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean,
The one-legged crab.
You know what you should do? Give him the Russian leg sweep. That's what they should do. You know, it'd be
ironic. Or the flatliner.
Yeah, give him the flatliner.
The flatliner, you know, has been around for a long time.
Yeah, no one's using it. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's kind of weak too. So, but the other thing, though, is that Caval, he made his debut on SmackDown, and he debuted to losing to Drew McIntyre. What do you think?
That was dumb. He should have won his first match. You can't bring a guy in and then have him lose their first match, because it's going to make him look weak. And I don't know why they had Caval lose to Drew McIntyre. I mean, Drew McIntyre is already over as a heel. Why go ahead and make him – I mean, he doesn't need to be over anymore. That's what I didn't get.
And I really think that what they should have done is having Caval win actually legitimizes Caval. It actually makes him – it jumps him from like being – a lower mid card to being the mid card. Like, it immediately jumps him up, and the people who are watching SmackDown who may not have watched NXT, they would actually appreciate Caval then. And that's, you know, that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to make people, you know, and I think that they dropped the ball there too. So
speaking of making people, Undertaker made CM Punk tap.
Yeah.
Big time. And CM Punk, of course, wrestled the Undertaker. Undertaker hasn't wrestled since March. And it was on free TV, which is actually pretty amazing, because usually he only likes to wrestle, you know, on pay-per-views and Raw, if he's on Raw for some reason. So it was kind of interesting to see him wrestle on free TV.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, the thing is, the problem, though, when you have Undertaker take on CM Punk, you know what's going to happen. I mean, you know that CM Punk is going to lose. And to be honest, I think it would have been interesting to see CM Punk win. That would have actually made it, I think, a bigger deal, because, you know, at the pay-per-view, if Kane does not beat Undertaker, if he does not pin Undertaker, it's going to be honestly, it's going to be a waste. It's going to be a really bad decision, because Kane has never beat Undertaker.
Oh, so, really?
Well, I shouldn't say never. He's never pinned him or beat him at any pay-per-view. Because there was an article I was reading about every time they faced each other, Undertaker has won every single time. So, and I think, though, because it was pointing out the pay-per-view, so I do apologize for not having the 100% correct information. We'll tweet it out, you know, on Off the Mark 86. So, you know, I'll tweet out the correct information then. So,
right, right. But, so, NXT. Now, how do you say her name?
Aloysia, I think.
It's
Lindsay Hayward. Yeah.
I've heard she was pulled for being too green, a.k.a. she was pulled for having erotic photos.
Yeah.
Have you seen the photos?
Yep.
Oh, really? I haven't seen them yet.
They are less erotic than watching Monday Night Raw.
Okay. So the real reason she was pulled is because she's too tall.
No, they actually what happened was apparently there are forms that you fill out and they say on there, you know, have you ever posed nude? And she wrote no, because she hadn't. She hadn't posed nude. And these pictures, they show a little bit of skin, but it's like a lot of it. I mean, there isn't even like bikini photos in there. It's like wearing a skimpy dress, you know? So I don't know. I mean, they're saying that it was because she was too green, but then word came out it's because of these photos. I mean, honestly, the thing is, nobody would have even looked at the photos. And had you not said anything, I mean, this wouldn't even be a news story, you know? So, I don't know. I think they're stupid, in my opinion. So
season 3 is supposed to last 3 months. Is that correct?
That's what Matt Stryker said last night.
I don't think it's going to last. It will not last 3 months. It'll last probably right until SmackDown starts on Sci-Fi. It'll last basically till the end of the month is what I think is going to happen. And honestly, dude, there's only probably two of them that are actually decent in the ring. Didn't like the whole thing with Vicky Guerrero bringing out the Caitlyn, who's replaced her, Lindsay Hayward. I didn't like that whole storyline, made her say her thing like 3 times. That was kind of stupid.
I actually kind of liked it because it was like she was being really hard on her, and it's almost like the Miz and Daniel Bryan kind of storyline. And I imagine actually that she'll probably end up winning if she's good. But the thing is, the fact that this is supposed to last 3 months, they're saying that NXT is only going to be on Sci-Fi up until October 1st. Mm-hmm. So that means that you're going to have 2 more months that you have to put this out. They're saying that it might be video on demand. Like it's going to come out and you're going to watch it on WWE.com. But here's the thing, though. The ratings for this, and I cannot wait to see them, but as the time of this taping, we haven't seen the ratings yet. But typically, the share that NXT was getting was 1.0, 1.01, somewhere around that number. I bet that this share is going to drop to probably 0.75. I'm gonna imagine that's going to drop quite
a bit. I think it's going to go down further than that, dude.
I think the first one's going to be pretty low, but I think after that, I think it could drop as low as 0.5, in my opinion. And for those of you who are kind of unfamiliar with the shares, basically to drop that much, it basically means that you need to end the product. So,
yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah, there's still nothing. Wow. You'd think by now that they would have put it out. Dang. Anyways, so speaking of something that doesn't go low, or actually keeps going low and low and lower, is GoDaddy on their prices. If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99, plus world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much, much more. Plus, when you enter the code POD149, when you check out, you'll save an additional 10% off your web hosting order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Summer Series 5, see site for details. TNA, no show this week. Why?
I don't know. I on it. Like, this is so dumb. Like, I was taking a look at my channel guide, too, to see what's preempting it. And it was just some like dumb Spike TV show. Like it was just their normal show, and it was a block of them.
CSI.
So it wasn't even. So it was like CSI or some crap. It's like it wasn't even a you know, oh well, we have a sport thing on, or we have this. So I mean, my only other thought is that the fact that football starts on Thursday. That's the only reason why I think that they're being preempted. So
Aaron, that makes plenty of sense, because why go against football?
But the thing is, though, you got to think that on the East Coast, it starts at what, 9 o'clock, mm-hmm. for Impact. So you would still be able to have a 2-hour show. I mean, football gets over, I think, around 11. So I guess you wouldn't be able to do it as well, like on the East and Central, but Mountain and West, I mean, you know, you'd still have that audience there.
Well,
so.
You think they have, like, the other TNA show, was it Reaction? You think they run one of those?
Yeah, exactly. But, oh, well. Anyway, do you want to talk about the pay-per-view instead?
I'm going to tell you the truth. I didn't know they had a pay-per-view at all until last night. I forgot that No Surrender was, it was No Surrender, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I forgot about it. Completely forgot about it. Ticks me off. So, make a long story short, I have downloaded it, you know, paid-wise. I haven't watched it yet, though. By the way, did you know that you can actually get the pay-per-views? I guess you can get a lot of stuff on iTunes now?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Had no idea. So,
oh, yeah.
So since I missed the pay-per-view, how was the pay-per-view?
I was incredibly disappointed for a lot of reasons. I mean, there were a lot of botches in, like, the Sabu match, you know, which it really just makes me wonder, like, why even have him around? Like, Tommy Dreamer, even though a lot of people don't, you know, he doesn't have quite the charisma that like a Rob Van Dam or a Hulk Hogan have. And I understand that. But Dreamer is a workhorse. And I think that, you know, you have him in there and he can help make people. Mm-hmm. And so you have somebody like Sabu who, you know, from every report I've ever read. And I actually had a friend who was a wrestler who wrestled with him, said that he's a drug addict. And it's not, I'm not talking about like, you know, doing cocaine or heroin or marijuana. I'm talking about like pills. He's a pill head. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, this is somebody who's kind of unreliable, you know? So I don't know. I mean, watching the matches, some of them just really sucked. And like London Brawling, which is the new tag team that they kind of put together, mm-hmm. they didn't even show up at the pay-per-view and they said it was personal issues. So Generation Me, faced off against Motor City Machine Guns. And it was just like, you know, yeah, it was a good match, but, you know, you kind of were expecting one thing, you got another. That kind of sucked. AJ Styles beat Tommy Dreamer. That was kind of cool. And I mean, it was an I Quit match, and I liked it because I like how sometimes in I Quit matches, I like seeing how people quit, like mm-hmm. what causes them to quit. You know, John Cena Batista, when Cena was going to throw him off the top of an ambulance, I think it was. And Batista's like, no, fine, I'll quit, you know. And then here, AJ was shoving a fork into Tommy Dreamer's eye. Like, I mean, they were doing some pretty crazy things. So that was kind of cool. Here's the thing that I really hated, though. Okay, here's the thing that sucked. Kurt Angle wrestled Jeff Hardy to a time limit. Twice. The third time is a double countout or something dumb like that. It was something stupid. And it's like, you know what? Give me an ending. You know, I hate that crap. I absolutely hate that crap. And then Ken Anderson beat the Pope, which everyone expected.
Yeah.
And I think what a lot of people were expecting at the pay-per-view is that it was going to be the winner of the Pope-Anderson match to take on the winner of the Angle-Hardy match, and it didn't happen. Instead, they said that that match is going to be at Bound for Glory, the other pay-per-view. So what's the point in buying this pay-per-view? Honestly, like – you want my hard-earned money, okay? You want my money? I'm not going to pay money just to see a few matches that are kind of flashy. I'm not mm-hmm. gonna. Mm-hmm. Two pay-per-views in a row, I would not have paid for. Would not have paid for TNA. And that's not a good sign.
No, it's not. It seems like they're going downhill real fast, and they shouldn't be. They should be going uphill, slowly, and surely, but surely. Unbelievable. So no champion was crowned.
Mm-hmm.
Sad. Anyways, let's move on to our weekly topic. We have our top five favorite big guys done by Mr.
Done by the Aaron Hughes. And I basically, when I said big guys, I mean like kind of the you know, heavier set guys, you know, who actually do put on a good show. And there was one person I really wanted to have on there, but I just, you know, based on, you know, the top five, you just, you know, you can't get them in there. So, and that person is Hugh Morris. You know, I really
humorous,
like humorous, even though he wasn't like a flashy wrestler, even though he wasn't that charismatic, you know, he still was pretty good. I mean, especially for his size, he could do a moonsault like no other, you know? So,
oh, yeah.
But top five. So, and the thing is, I actually have the list on here, Andy, so you get to see it, you know, which is different than normal. Normally I have it on another sheet. And I let Andy react to it. So, number five, Andre the Giant. You know, mm-hmm. Not much needs to be said.
Yep.
Number four is Rikishi.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I liked about Rikishi was after he got done with the dancing gimmick, I actually thought he did a pretty good job. So number three, The Big Show. And, you know, as the Giant, you know, I thought he did a great job in WCW when he came over to WWF. He also did a very good job. And I've always been pleased with him. I think he's a funny character. I think he's, you know, can be a serious character. Just always like him. Number two, the Natural Disasters. And I put them together because Earthquake and Typhoon, you know, I look back on it and it's kind of silly. But man, like, I remember watching them like take on Hulk Hogan, and you know, you'd get so scared when Earthquake jumped on him and you're like, oh my God, is he okay? You know, so I always like the Natural Disasters, you know, so but number one, of course, and this is kind of, I think almost everybody would say this, would be Yokozuna.
Oh yeah, I remember Yoko. I remember his finishing move. He'd drag him over there and like then sit on him, you know, with his junk in their face. And I always thought it was always funny, and he actually seemed like he really dug the wrestling industry. And you know, when he passed away, unfortunately, there was a ton of wrestlers that were there that I was like, why were they there? I guess he touched a lot of people in his career, and they all came. Even people who barely knew him still showed up for his funeral. So it was really nice. Very nice.
He had such an impact on the 90s, you know. I mean, he without him, I mean, you know, him and Hogan had good feuds. Him and Bret Hart, Lex Luger.
Luger won, definitely. That's right. Lex Luger came in a helicopter and got on top of the thing and body slammed him. He was the only guy to body slam him.
Yeah, it was the body slam challenge that only Luger was able to do. Yeah. So, yeah, but, you know, that was the thing. Like, he had such a big impact. And not to take anything away from the other people, especially Andre the Giant. I mean, I think the problem is that Andre was really big in the 70s and very early 80s. You know, I was born in the 80s, so I didn't get to see a whole lot of Andre the Giant wrestle. So it was just kind of like, you know, clips that I kind of remember. But, you know, Yokozuna, I think that he had an impact, you know. So like I said, and this is my top five big guys. Yeah. Your list would probably be different. If you have a list and you want to tweet it to us, feel free. So,
yeah. Well, it looks like that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I am AHughes86. Aaron is AP Hughes. I want to say thanks to Station 86 and 86 Productions for hosting and editing the show. I also want to thank my co-hosts for coming on each and every week, and I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to our show. And until next time, we're tapping out.